Let's look at a passage of Scripture found in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to turn to the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians and read for you verses 25, 26, and 27. Now, here's our subject today, a glorious church. A glorious church. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Now, my friends, the Word of God often speaks of the church as a local assembly, a local congregation of believers in a certain place. Many times in the Scripture we read about the churches at Corinth and the churches at Galatia and the church at Thessalonica and the church here and the church there, and it's talking about a local assembly of baptized believers who meet together and worship God in a certain place. Now, these churches are assemblies of people who profess to believe on Christ and who have confessed Christ and claim to be in Him by faith. And these churches have pastors. They have elders. They have deacons. And they meet on the Lord's Day, and they meet at other times for worship and for prayer and for praise and for the preaching of the Word of God. A church, you see, is not a building. A church is an assembly of people who meet in a building. They may meet in a cave. They may meet in a home. They may meet out under a tent. They may meet in a fine, a beautiful building. But the church is not the building with a cross sitting up on top of a steeple. That's not a church. A church is made up of people. It's an assembly of people. And they meet for worship and prayer and praise. And the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, the local church, they observe the ordinances, baptism and the Lord's table. They hedge them about. They've been given the responsibility of distributing the elements at the Lord's table. And they discipline the members. And they ordain ministers. And they train and teach ministers. And the churches send missionaries. And the churches teach the Word of God. And the churches seek fellowship with other churches and cooperation with other churches in supporting missionaries and preaching the Word all over the world. But every church of the Lord Jesus Christ is an independent, local body of believers. And they're engaged in the ministry of the Word, and they're engaged in the worship of the Lord. Now, they have fellowship together, and they cooperate together, but they have no head but Christ. And they don't belong to any organization. They belong to Christ. They're His churches. Now, many times when you read the Word of God, the word church has reference to those local assemblies, those local congregations of baptized believers, people who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who love Him and who serve Him. But the Word of God also speaks of the church. For example, in the Scripture I just read to you, "Husband, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." A glorious church is called. And many times in the Scriptures, this church is called the body of Christ, of which Christ is the head. It's called the whole family of God in heaven and earth. It's called God's building. It's called the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's called the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. You see that? It's the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And in my text, and this is my topic, it is called a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, not having any such thing, but holy and without blemish before God Almighty. Now, I've heard men say this. I've heard them say, "Well, I'm not interested in where you go to church." Well, my friend, I am interested in where you go to church. It means a great deal to me. I'm interested in where you worship. I'm interested in where you worship on the Lord's Day, because it's important that you hear the Word of God. It's important that you hear the gospel of God's grace preached in truth. Now, my friends, I'm not going anywhere where they just entertain and where they socialize and where they carry on a program and where they do everything but preach the Word of God. And I advise you not to go. But I'm interested in where you go. I think you need to find a place where the Word of God is preached, where people are not ashamed of the gospel of the grace of God. They're not interested in numbers, but they're interested in His glory. They're not interested in a competitive spirit, but they're interested in the Holy Spirit and His presence and power. I am interested in where you go. And it is important that you be identified with a church of believers. You need fellowship. You need encouragement. You need edification. You need to be taught. The apostle said, you desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, spiritually mature. And when our Lord left this earth, he left apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to teach us. And we need to get under the ministry of some faithful, God-honoring, God-called, scriptural pastor who teaches us the Word of God. But, as I say, I'm interested in where you go and with whom you're identified. But the matter of greatest importance is this. This is the matter of greatest importance. Do you belong? You may not have a church in your community that preaches the gospel. There are places where there's no church. There's no church that preaches the true gospel of God's grace. And there may not be one in your community. But here's what I'm asking you. Do you belong to that glorious church whose names are written in heaven? Do you belong to that church of the firstborn, that church which is the body of our Lord? Do you belong to that church which is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Are you in that church? For Christ loved that church, and He gave Himself for it, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. All right, here are some marks of that church and the membership of that church and the people who are in that church. Let me give you some marks of those people, and let's see if I'm in that church or you. First of all, I know this. All who are in that glorious church, the church of the firstborn, which He loved and which He purchased with His own blood, they're all saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are saved by the grace of God. They know it. They profess it. They believe it. They rejoice in it. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're His workmanship. With Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Peter said, beloved, you know, every one of you know. What little you know this, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received in by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Now, there may be false professors in our local churches, and I'm sure there are. And there may be hypocrites in your local assembly, and I'm sure there are. No doubt there are. There was Judas. We all know about him. And there was Demas. Paul said, he left me. He loved the world. He didn't love the Lord. There was Simon Magus, whom Peter said was in the gall of bitterness. There was Ananias and Sapphira that carried him out of the church dead, out of the building dead, out of the assembly dead. And there may be false professors and hypocrites and carnal religionists in your congregation, but I'll tell you this, in that glorious church, they're all saved. They're all saved. They're all God's elect. They're all God's sheep. They're all God's children. They're all God's jewels. And men don't vote them into that church, and men can't vote them out. The Heavenly Father chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, in love and mercy, came down to this earth and suffered and died and paid for their sins. And the Holy Spirit of God arrested them on their Damascus road to hell and called them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir, Christ loved them, that glorious church. Christ gave Himself for them, that glorious church. Christ washed them, every one of them, that glorious church. Christ sanctified them, that glorious church. And Christ will present them to Himself, not having spot or blemish, but holy and unblameable. You see that? That's the first mark of this glorious church. Christ loved them. and he washed them, and he gave himself for them, and he sanctified them, every one of them. They're all saved by the grace of God. There's not a spot, there's not a wrinkle, there's not a blemish, nor any such thing in that body of Christ. All right, secondly, now they don't claim righteousness of their own. Paul said, I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. But I reach out and lay hold upon that for which I've been laid hold of by Christ. I pursue God. I seek the Lord, David said. Secondly, all who are in that glorious church have several things in common. Now, they may have lived in different generations. They may have lived in different generations. And they may have lived in different countries. They may be black or white or red or yellow. They may be called by different names. They may be Waldenses and Albigenses and Anabaptists and Presbyterians and Episcopalians or whatever. They may have many different lifestyles and dress habits. But I'll tell you this, they all have these things in common. They're born again by the same Spirit. Everyone, except a man born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And they all confess their sins. Not a one of them that claims to be without sin. Every one of them confess their sins and repent toward God. Except ye repent, you'll perish. Except ye repent, you'll perish. That's so. And they all believe Christ is the only Redeemer. He has no rivals. He's the only Redeemer. Christ died for my soul. Every one of them will say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And by God's grace, I'm heaven bound. My only hope, my only plea, is that when Christ died, he died for me. Go back to 1500 and they'll say the same thing. Come up to 1981, they'll say the same thing. Go over to China or Africa or Mexico or India or France or wherever, and they'll say the same thing. Christ is my hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And they all draw their faith from the same source, the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't care where you find a believer, the foundation of his faith is the Word of God. The object of his faith is Christ. But the foundation of his faith is not feeling or experience or environment or the visual aids of religion. It's the Word of God. God hath said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And they all worship the true and living God. They worship. They worship the true and living God. They all love Christ. And they all love one another. It doesn't matter what age they are. They're in Christ, there's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. There's neither white nor black. There's neither old nor young. They love Christ. You cut into the mind of a believer, you'll find thoughts of Christ. Cut into his heart and you'll find love for Christ. Cut into his soul and you'll find a panting and desire to be like Christ, wherever you find him. And they all desire to walk in holiness and truth. They'll be satisfied when they're awake with his likeness, and not until. Oh, they're happy here walking with Christ. They're happy here in fellowship with one another, happy as a man can be away from home. But they'll be satisfied when they're awake in his likeness. And they're all indwelt by the same Spirit, every last one of them. There's not a one of them who's not regenerated by the Spirit and redeemed by the Son and called by the Word of God. Not a one of them, wherever you might find them. All right, thirdly, all who are in this glorious church. Now listen to me. And I hear a lot about ecumenical movements and getting together and all this stuff. Now, you listen to me. And there are a lot of divisions among religionists. And I'm not surprised. They're worshiping different gods. And they're preaching different gospels. They're going different directions. Two can't walk together except they be agreed. It's an impossibility. Two fellows can't walk together, one going north and one going south. You can't expect them to. You two people can't walk together, one walking on the upper road, one walking on the carnal lower road. They're not going to walk together. They got to be agreed. They got to be born of the same Spirit, washed in the same blood, sanctified by the same God, and trusting in the same Lord, living by the same Word, heading in the same direction. But there's unity among believers. They may not agree on every point in regard to church government. They may not agree on every point in regard to church government. Charles Spurgeon and Jonathan Edwards were poles apart on church government. John Calvin and Martin Luther and Augustus Toplady were greatly differing in regard to church government. They may not agree on dress. They may wear black clothes or white clothes. They may dress like the people in the tribes of Africa with few clothes. They may dress like those in Alaska with furs around their heads. But and they may disagree on prophecy and days and forms of worship. But I'm telling you this, every believer is in agreement on the weightier matters of faith, in perfect agreement. They have one heart and one mind on these things because they're taught by one Spirit. These are the weightier matters of the Word of God. First of all, every believer, I don't care where you find them, you can find three or four of them in the farthest reaches of the world, in the farthest corners of this world, and bring them together, and every one of them will agree that God's on the throne. That's absolutely right. I don't care where you find them. He'll agree with you that God is sovereign, that the Lord God is king, that God doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. The Scripture says, be still and know one thing, that I'm God. Look unto me and be ye saved. I'm God. I'm God. Every one of them know that God's on the throne. They worship the Lord God. They obey the Lord God. They submit to the Lord God. They surrender to the Lord God. He's sovereign. He's king. They know that Jesus Christ is God. They don't have any doubt about that. If he's not God, he's an imposter. He's a liar. He's in hell if he's not God. He said, I'm God. I'm the Father of one. God said he was God. The Heavenly Father said he was God. I don't understand the Trinity, and you don't either. But I believe it. God said, let us make man. Scripture says the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Father said to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Call his name God with us. God, a child is born. A son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I tell you something else they all know. Every believer, they know man's a fallen creature. They know in Adam we all died. They know by one man's disobedience, judgment, condemnation, death passed upon all men. They don't talk about the good works of man or the flame of life that's in every soul and the little spark of life that needs to be fanned by some soul winner. They know man's dead in trespasses and sin. And if he's made alive, God will have to make him alive. If he receives life, it'll be a gift. If he's saved, it'll be God who saves him. They know that. They know man's dead in sin. They also know something else. They know salvation is by the grace of God, not of works. Every one of them know that. They know of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. They know that. They know this. They know that as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege to become sons of God, who were born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, not of natural inheritance, but born of God. And they know that Christ alone is the Redeemer, that Christ alone is the Savior, that Christ alone is our righteousness and holiness. They all know it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. They all know that. And they all know the value of God's Word. And they speak according to the Word of God. And where the Word is silent, they're silent. Now I'm telling you this, where you find believers, you'll find unity of faith. You'll find unity of heart and unity of spirit. Where you find true believers, men who treasure the Word, who bow before the throne of God, who know their sins, who look to Christ for their salvation, who know that in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that he's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, and we're complete in him, that no flesh should glory in his presence. They're in unity. Oh, they may conduct their services differently. They may sing different types of songs. They may have a different idea about prophecy in the millennium. Some may be post, pre, or op. They may have a different idea about judgments and so forth, but they know who Christ is. They know once I was blind, but now I see. By his grace that we've been saved. Well, I'll tell you something else about this glorious church. All who are in this glorious church will endure to the end. That's right. They'll still walk in faith. Our Lord said they'll never perish. He said, my sheep. They came to him, they said, if you be the Christ, why don't you tell us plainly? Well, he said, I told you, but you didn't believe me. You didn't believe me because you're not of my sheep. I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, my Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, I'll build my church. and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not one bone of his precious body shall be broken. Not one child of the Lord God shall be disowned and cast out, disinherited. Not one sheep shall be plucked from his fold. Not one sheep. He's going to bring them all home. He said, I came down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing. Not a hoof nor a hair shall be left behind. I'll lose nothing, but I'll raise it up again at the last day. And they shall all be taught of God. And everyone that heareth of the Father will come to me, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Not one believer, not one jewel shall be absent from his crown. That soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, he said, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hail, should endeavor to shake. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. The gates of hell shall not prevail against you. I'll tell you something else in the fifth place. All who are in this church, all who are in this glorious church, shall have part in that first resurrection. In that first resurrection. And my friend, just two resurrections. The resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the rebel. The resurrection of the saved and the resurrection of the damned. They'll all have part. And I don't know what's going to happen out yonder. I know Christ is coming. I know that my judgment's over. I know in Christ there's no judgment. There's no condemnation. I face no sins. I'm in Christ. Whether I've been saved 5 minutes or 5 years, I'm in Christ. Justified and have all things. I don't know what's going to take place out there. But I do know this. When the Lord Jesus comes back, every believer is coming out of the grave. And those that live shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. I don't know much about the rapture. I don't know much about the tribulation, and you don't either. It's speculation. You're wasting your time studying it and spending all your time when you ought to be studying his first coming and what he did for you on the cross. You need to be involved in the person of Christ, not a bunch of events and advents that hadn't come to pass yet. Leave that to the Lord. He'll take care of that. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. But I say this to you. Every believer is going to have a part in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Every one of this glorious church shall be raised with Christ and changed into the likeness and image of Christ and enjoy the eternal glory of the Son. And I'm talking about from Abel to Abraham. From Abel to Abraham. I'm talking about from Enoch to Elijah. And I'm talking about from Noah to Jeremiah. And I'm talking about from David to Daniel. And I'm talking about from Jeremiah to John. I'm talking about from Matthew to Martin Luther. And from John the Baptist to John Calvin. And from Charles Spurgeon to you and me. This is the church of the firstborn. You can call it the church in the wilderness or the church in the Old Testament or New Testament. But that glorious church, that church of the firstborn, that church which he loved and purchased with his own blood and washed, every last one of them in heaven is going to sing the same song. This is called church of the firstborn, the household of faith it's called, the temple of the Holy Ghost, the royal priesthood, the chosen generation, the holy people. Somebody said, when all the earthly glory is passed away, when all the earthly organizations and thrones and powers and nations and principalities on earth have come to nothing and faded away, then shall this glorious church be presented without spot or blemish in the presence of the Lord God and shall dwell forever with him. And he said, who are these and whence came they? These are they that came out of great tribulation. And you say, well, that's talking about the 7 years. Brother, I don't expect you'll go through any more tribulation than Job did. Or any more tribulation than Abraham did, or any more tribulation than Noah did, or any more tribulation than Moses did. Great tribulation, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation, and you've made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Forever and forever. One final thing. I ask you, are you a member of this church? Now, you may belong to your church, and I hear people talk about, well, I belong to this church, and I hear preachers talk about my church and my people. Well, you might have the form and the ceremony and the ritual of religion. But my friend, I want to know this. Are you a member of his glorious church? the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You may have the outward privileges of your denomination. You may even hold an office. Judas did. You may even recognize the right creed and the right doctrine. You might even be a preacher or a teacher. But my friend, life is to know Christ. It's to be found in Him. It's to, with a heart faith. With a heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's being taught in the heart by the Holy Spirit of the person of Christ. You may be a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Nazarene or whatever. But my friend, you may not be a Christian. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the blood. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. And with His own blood He bought her. And for her life He died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation is one Lord, one faith, and one birth. And one holy name she blesses. She partakes of one holy food, and to one hope she presses, with every grace endued. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, that I may be conformed to His blessed image. Oh, that I may win Christ.